Ian, I'm told, and that some of you know, has been here a number of years ago, but it's been a lot of years. He's now married to his wife, Caitlin, and they have a daughter, Elora. They come from the St. Catharines area. Come on up, Ian, and may the Lord just bless you and use you as you share with us this morning.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege, it's an honor, it's a delight to be with you. I'm just going to take the time to open in a word of prayer. Holy Father, we have so much to be grateful for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, even when we don't know what's going on, we can't see the rhyme or the reason, we can trust your heart. We know that you work all things together for good to those who love you. Lord, even in the most impossible of circumstances. And Lord, we pray now that as we open your word together, we pray that you would meet us here in your word. Lord, that you would not leave me to my own strength, to my own devices, but that you would come in power and you could meet your people here this morning. Lord, as we look at this ministry and later as we dive into your word, we pray that you would encourage us, that you would build us up in our most holy faith, Lord, in your son's most precious name. Amen. Now, last time I was here, as was mentioned, I was young, I was single, and I thought I knew a little. And now I'm back, I'm married, I'm a father, I'm older, and now I know for certain how little I know. But we can be grateful this morning that God fills and uses empty vessels. Amen. So this morning, as was mentioned, we have a great privilege to share with you a little about the ministry of Everyday Publications. Now, it's going to sound like I'm bragging a little bit, but as Paul says, when it comes to ministries, it's not bragging because it's not my work. I just get to be part of this. A ministry is what the Lord is doing. An EPI is the Lord's ministry, and it's been amazing to see how he has worked in Everyday Publications for over 60 years. And it's my privilege to be here with you and just give you a quick, brief overview of what's been happening before we dive into the scriptures. But for a moment, I just want to magnify this ministry with you this morning. Now, EPI, we do literature. We make books, and we make it in several different languages. And we pass these all over the world. And the Lord provides the funds and the means to make the books, to ship the books. Shipping is by far the most expensive part of the process because we have free labor. The Lord, everyone who is at EPI, they are commended, they are volunteers. We are there because we believe in what the Lord is doing. And so that cuts costs tremendously. When you go into Kohl's and Noble's and Chapters, most of what you're paying for is people's time. And so people have given of their time to make these books. We've made more books this past year than any other year before. The Lord has blessed us with many volunteers, and so we are so thankful for this. So you can see on this map global literacy rates. And this next picture, this shows how even since the 80s, the world is getting more literate. And at the end, we'll show you some projects coming up. We have one going to Burundi in Africa. And you might say, why do you send books to a place where not everyone can read? But the truth is that readers are leaders. And if you can get good Christian material into the hands of leaders in these communities, that this will impact those communities in a very beneficial manner. You'll get the training, the word of God into them, and they are able to pass that on to God's sheep. So even in an area where the literacy rates are not as high, it is almost more important to get these books into them. So what does the DPI do? So I talked a little bit about the free labor, train up a child in the way they should go. So we, like I said, we print books in our shop. This is some equipment. I got my daughter on the guillotine there, happily working away, and we've got piles of books. Those books are for good seed, and we also have we make books for New Life Prison Ministry, all sorts of different things. This is some of our equipment. We have a bigger guillotine that's about 38 inches, and this here is the perfect binder. So the books are all assembled in-house, and we make many, many books. So this is our new printer. Our old printer, they last about 5 years. We run them very hard, and this is a new replacement. The last one had almost 20 million impressions. All the service technicians, they couldn't believe it. There's another printer in Hamilton, the same specs, and it only has 5 million impressions, and they're in there every other week. But the Lord just kept our printer chugging along. And we've only had this one for a couple months, and it's already almost at the 1 million mark. So, all right, I just said all that. I'm too efficient. These are some of our books that we do. I just want to talk very quickly about the importance of Christian books. And, you know, as in a minute, I'll get into the Bible, and we're going to share some beautiful truths together. But I would be impressed if in 2 weeks you were able to recite to me what I spoke about this morning. And I would be even more impressed if in 2 months you could tell me what I spoke about this morning. And then if it was 2 years, I would be severely impressed. You would be remarkable. And I hope and pray that you do. Put a lot of prayer into praying that the Lord would speak to your hearts this morning. But the beauty of a book is you can be spoken to again and again and again. When I am back home in Port Colborne, you will still have a book if you take one, and you will be able to read God's truth again and again. You know, you guys are doing, it's almost providential. You guys are doing Romans this week. There's a bunch of Romans books back there. I brought some books, and I want to give them to you. Number one, to kind of encourage you, show you what we do. I have been reading these books myself. I have been challenged. I have been convicted. I have been blessed out of my mind. I just finished this one. It's an excellent overview on Romans. I don't know if you're using one for your study, but this might be nice to have in your back pocket. Anything that I brought, I would be delighted not to bring home with me. So you would do me a favor if you took some books with you. I would only ask, if you're going to take a book, you'd commit to reading it. You know, reading a book is a lot like eating an elephant. It's one bite at a time. And you're only done when you stop. So if you quit, then you've given up. But if you read a bit at a time, you know, you will get through that eventually, and you will glean as you go. So that's a book on Romans. This book is incredible. This is a very short chapters, but it goes through the friend of the bride. It's called The Friend of the Bridegroom, and it's little devotional thoughts on John the Baptist. And they're so deep, they're so simple. I've turned some of these into message outlines. These just top tier devotional material. Robert Sykes, he was a missionary on Angola with Tiernus Wilson and David Boyd Long. And we have some resources on discipleship, books for young men. I'd be happy to talk with you about them after. But I would highly, highly encourage you to take a book, and you will be blessed. So we ship them all over the world, once again, putting my daughter to good work on the forklift. And who do we ship them to? So this is the other side of the coin. So this was a friend I got to make. This man is a national worker in Honduras, and his name is Yobani. Yobani does not speak any English, and I do not speak any Spanish. And it would have been amazing if we conversed over tons through the Holy Spirit, but unfortunately, we had to settle with Google Translate. So we were able to make a whole shipment go to Honduras, and we were able there's a closed country beside Honduras called Nicaragua, and we were able to add a whole other order, and they were actually able to smuggle them across the border to get them into that country. So praise the Lord for that. And you can see we want to know how they were using the books, and they do these discipleship courses and classes, and they teach them, they go through them together, they give them out as prizes. And everywhere where we've heard back, they're using them to teach pastors, leaders, to disciple the next generation. So it's very encouraging, it's very exciting to see these different churches and Christian groups in the developing world, to see them using these resources to feed God's sheep. So this is what I was talking about. We've got Honduras up here, and then they were able to get them into Nicaragua. And we just praise the Lord that he was able to allow this to go through smoothly. So upcoming projects, this went out last week. We had 60 boxes of pallets going out to another group in Santo Domingo in Dominican Republic. And then this year we have another three big projects coming up. We've got Bogota, Colombia, which will be another Spanish order. And then I already mentioned in Burundi, there is a large group of refugees from Congo. And so they've moved in, they've been relocated into Burundi, and we have a large portion of our titles in Congo Swahili, which they speak. And so we'll be working with the missionaries on the ground there to get these materials into them, to grow them in their faith in this difficult time of their lives. And so we're thankful to the Lord for that opportunity. And then Angola, there's a group there that we're working with. We're going to get some Portuguese books into Angola. So the Lord is working, and we are thankful to be part of it. So as we close out this section of it, how can you help? The number one thing that we highly, highly covet, that you would partner with us in praying for everyday publications. We have a pray every day for everyday pamphlet that goes out. You've probably seen that, and it's just keeping us in your thoughts and praying that the Lord would make it so that we are only in his will. That we would, there's so many things that we can be doing, and we want to be just doing what the Lord would have us to do. So if you could pray for us in that regard, and come visit. You know, I have a slide coming up comparing distances in the Bible compared to distances around here. So you'll see exactly how far it is from here to EPI in a minute. But we're not far. We're only 2.5 hours by car. And we'd love to show you. We'd love to show you what we do and walk you through the shop. Another thing you can do is take a book. Read it. and expect the Lord to meet him there. Use these books, they take you straight to the Bible. They help us, they give us tools and strategy, and they show us different ways to read the Bible. And different men, we stand on their shoulders sometimes as we look into difficult parts of Scripture, and explains to us how to understand different parts of Scripture, to know God better, to serve him in a deeper way. So I would encourage you, that's another way, take a book, commit to read it, and trust that God will use it to grow you in your faith. And, you know, Christianity is not a spectator sport, and God has, is not even a sport, but God has something for everyone. And, you know, it's not just ministries, it's not just, so pray about what God would have you to do. And he has something for us in every area of our lives. It's not, you know, what we can do for God, but it is what God can do through us. So there we have it. That is Everyday Publications in a nutshell. So I trust that maybe there was something in there to encourage you. We are thankful for any prayers, any you know, contact that we have with you. So help yourself to a book, and you know, I'll be out there at the end of this meeting, and I'll be here tonight too, obviously, because I'm speaking. But I'd love to go over them with you. I'd love to tell you which ones you're looking for. And once again, they are absolutely free for you to commit to reading to. All right. So what we'd like to do with the remainder of our time, I want to talk briefly about the testing of Christ. And we want to look at it with the purpose of how do we enter into it, because God has a perfect standard. And we know that we all fall short of the glory of God. There is only one man who has passed this test with flying colors. And as we talked about, you know, I was so encouraged this morning as the brothers were sharing, you know, this morning Ron did our whole outline of my message. And then when he closed, it was a whole outline of the evening message. So we could just go home, have dinner early. But I was very encouraged to hear that. But we want to look at how, you know, what he has done, we can enter into that. You know, he has passed the test, and now his test results are attributed to me. When Jesus Christ looks at me, because I have accepted, I believe in what he has done on the cross for me, I have confessed that he is Lord, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And because of that, Jesus' righteousness is imputed to me. When God looks at me, he now sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his Son. And one of the verses that read this morning in Hebrews, he's our high priest. He was tested and tempted at all points, and he didn't fail. He was tested by man. You know, Jesus, he went to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was able to say to him, I don't need, you know, you, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. Like, you are perfect. You are God. And John the Baptist was family. And nobody knows us better than family. You know, I was encouraged to hear that you guys are having a baptism. And to put it into perspective, this is how far my family traveled to be here. And it's about 2.5 hours, but by walking is a 43-hour walk. And the elevation is pretty traumatic. So from 83 meters to 404 meters, so we are in high ground here today. But that is absolutely nothing when you look at what Jesus did. So the total elevation was about, 500 meters difference. But here, Jesus, he traveled so far over wild elevation. And he went about, it says it there, 128 kilometers. He walked from the Galilee area. Some people think it was Nazareth. But he walked all that way just to get baptized. And Jesus was the only person in the whole human race who didn't need to get baptized because he had no sin in him. And it was so important to him to please the Father, we read, to fulfill all righteousness. And so here he is. He walks through elevation change, through mountains, through valleys, to be there, to be baptized. And what a picture it is for us. And he went from so high to so low. And it's a picture. The elevation on the Dead Sea is about 420 meters below sea level. And he went from 1,000 meters above sea level. And it's a picture, right? It's a picture of how he came from heaven. He was perfect, and he came all the way down to this world. And here he is coming even further down to do the Lord's work. And it's just a picture of what he has gone through for us. And I was very encouraged to hear that you're having a baptism soon. And I wanted to, was already said earlier, if you are on the fence about baptism, this example from Jesus should push you off the fence and into action, right? Because he desires us. There's so many pictures in the Bible. Romans 6, we're baptized into his death. And our old nature is dead, and we are alive in Christ. We have a new nature, and we get to be part of these beautiful pictures. So I would just encourage, baptism is such a beautiful, important picture, and we are asked to be baptized. So we need to be obedient, and Jesus is, in all things, our beautiful example. And then the last test and approval was from God himself. After he was baptized, the Lord himself, a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So we have, and then we have, he was tested by the devil. And we won't spend much time on this. There's one thing I want to focus on with the rest of our time. But I will say, it's one thing for men to worship their creator. And it's one thing for God to endorse his son. But then you have the devil. And he put everything into this to throw Jesus off the track. To if he could end it here, it would all be over. But of course, he couldn't do it because Jesus was the genuine article. And no matter how long the devil tried to get Jesus to sin, he would not do it because Jesus was God with skin on. And he could not sin. He would never sin because he was fully God and he was fully man. I'm just going to read two verses that sum this idea up perfectly. John 2, verse 24 and 25 says this about Jesus and men. "But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So Jesus is saying, in men, there is something you can't trust. In humanity, there is something in them that will always be derailed, that will always go the wrong way, and that is our sinful nature. And then you compare that to John chapter 14, verse 30, and Jesus lets them in on a little secret. So it's just before he's going to be crucified, his last moments with them, and he's telling them what's going to happen. John chapter 14, verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Now, you and I, we can't say that, because we have something in us until we are made new at the trumpet sound, until we die and go to be with Christ, whichever happens first. We will struggle. We will fight tooth and nail with the flesh. But Jesus, he was able to say that the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. There's nothing in Jesus that would sin or could sin. He was perfection. He was the divine nature. And so that puts it into perspective for us, that who Jesus was. This is who he was, the genuine article. And now I want to spend the rest of our time looking at a beautiful account right after the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 9. We don't have time to go into this, but we're able to see he spoke with authority. When he taught with the scribes after he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. But we want to look at this account with the rest of the time that we have. So, I told you to go to the wrong passage. That's my nature for you. We'll go back a previous chapter to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. So Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and in it he has revealed who he is. No one could say what he said and get away with it, because he says things like, you call me Lord, Lord, and then if they did not really truly believe in him, then they would go to hell. And he is, in even in the Sermon on the Mount, he is supreme. He has so much authority. And at the end of it, they said, no one, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He had authority. And so we find out in this chapter here, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him. So this man, he had a problem. He was a leper. He was condemned. He was an outcast from the Jewish society. He was not able to live in town. Anytime someone came near him, he was supposed to cry out, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, get away from me. And no one was to come near him, no one was to touch him, no one was to have anything to do with him. But this leper, he knew enough about Jesus that he worshipped him. So what we've just discussed, who he was tested, and what he taught, he taught with authority. He proved who he was. So this man has obviously was able to get snippets to find out who he is. And it was enough for him to worship him. I was so thankful for that meeting this morning. We looked a little bit at who Jesus was and what he has done for us. And when it comes to worship, you know, sometimes you go to different worship meetings and they try and psych themselves up with songs and music. But all we have to do is look at Jesus. Look at what he has done. Look at who he is. We don't have to psych ourselves up. When we turn our eyes upon Jesus, when we look at how he stepped out of heaven, how he loves us so much, that will turn our hearts to worship. And so we have this leper, and here he worships God. He holds Jesus high in his heart, and he says to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And that is a remarkable statement. He knew so much about Jesus. He knew enough to worship him, and he knew enough to ask him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And then we have one of the most beautiful verses in Scripture. "Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" This man probably hadn't been touched in years. Probably ostracized by his family, just with the other leopards, but no one outside of that group would have anything to do with him. Certainly no religious leaders, no priests would have anything to do with him, but this would have been a shocking, jaw-dropping, what is going on moment for them. It would have rocked the crowds to the core. Jesus put out his hand and touched him. "Jesus, you're going to be unclean. Jesus, what are you doing?" But because of who he was, no amount of sin could make him less God. He came down, he ate with tax collectors, with sinners. He rubbed shoulders with these people that the scribes and the priests, they wouldn't have anything to do with. But he came to find them. It says he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. That is his heart. He loved them so much. And so he reaches out and he says, "I am willing." That is the heart of our God this morning. He is not willing that any should perish, but he desires that everyone should be saved and come to a knowledge of salvation. "I am willing, be cleansed." And he has the power to change you and I this morning. "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, the last verse in this little section. "Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Now, we might be tempted to think, you know, what a strange ending to such a beautiful little passage. But if we explore that a little more, we will find that it just gets better and better. Now, Jesus, we know from Luke 24:44, at the end of that, he says, "These words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." See, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, to get rid of it. He came to fulfill it. He came to bring perfection and harmony. And because of his fulfilling the law perfectly, we can partake of that righteousness. And, you know, we have what Jesus told him to do concerning the priest is found in Leviticus 14. And he was supposed to go to the priest, and it says, offered the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And we're going to look at that word testimony briefly. But this was a proof. This was a witness to the priests. God loved them too. And he wanted to use this to fulfill scripture, to fulfill the law, and to be a witness to those priests. And we read later in Acts that many of the priests ended up getting saved. And this, what happens next, could not fail to escape their notice. So very quickly in Luke chapter 14, we're just going to steal some beautiful verses here. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leopard for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. Now, that couldn't happen because the priest was inside the camp, and the people were inside the camp, and the leper could not come inside the camp. So verse 3, we find out what that actually looks like. And the priest shall go out of the camp. And we know that Jesus is our high priest. And he came outside the camp for us. He came out of heaven into he came outside the camp into the filth, into the squalor, into the mess that is this sin-encrusted earth. And this is what the leper was supposed to bring to the priest to fulfill the law. Then verse 4, and the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. And then the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. So first of all, these priests, they probably would never have had to fulfill this portion of scripture ever before, because that didn't just happen. People didn't get healed from leprosy back then. You had leprosy, that was a death sentence. You did not come back from that unless it was divine intervention, unless God healed you. And we have some instances of that in the Old Testament, but for the past 400 years, we don't have any record of that until now. So this man comes in to these priests and says, hey, I'm here. I've got my two birds. And later on, he needs three different types of sheep. And, you know, I like to think that they'd like to have to dig out this portion of the law. And they have to blow the dust off and to say, what do we have to do here? Because they never had to do this before. And it's a testimony. It's a witness. I mean, you look at this. You got two birds. And you've got one bird has to die for the other bird so that it can live and be loose upon the open field. And that just makes me think of who the Son sets free is free indeed. And when we look at our marvelous Lord, and, you know, sometimes we get squeamish at these pictures of blood and sacrifice in the Old Testament, but it is blood. Life is in the blood. And Jesus shed his life, his blood for us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, we read these beautiful words. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. And what has he done? He's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. So we can praise him, we can worship him because of what he has done. Now, as we close, that word testimony, that is also translated witness. It's also translated martyr. And that is literally how you, the Greek pronunciation is martyrion. And it's, that's what it is. You know, we like that leopard. We have the ability to come to him and say, if you're willing, you can make me part of your family. You can take me from the kingdom of darkness and transform me into the kingdom of the Son of your love. You can reconcile me, make me part of your family, God. And what does he ask us to do in return? We are to be a testimony to him. You know, the only difference between a testimony, a witness, and a martyr is the circumstances that we find ourselves in the world. It's the hostility to the church. We are to be living out this testimony, this witness that he has given us to do. You know, I have taken this to task in my own life. I struggle sometimes sharing the gospel with people, so I wear Christian t-shirts and I have these goofy little tracts. Anytime someone gives me a receipt, I whip out a tract about, it says Jesus paid it all, it's a little receipt tract, and I say, I'll trade you. And it opens the door. It gets you talking about this witness, talking about this testimony. What has been done for me? Jesus paid it all. I can boldly come into his presence now. We can enter into this beautiful responsibility. This, we are ambassadors for Christ now. We can enter into this. He has done so much for us. Now he says, go out, be a testimony, be a witness to other people. I apologize for going over. I will just close in prayer. Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you are our high priest, that you were tested at all points, Lord, and you passed with flying colors. You are the genuine article. You are the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. Lord, we rejoice in what you have done. And Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, that you would be what shines out of us. We think of Moses, how he spent so much time with you and he came down and his face was glowing. Lord, we pray that this week that our faces could be glowing with the joy of the Lord as we've thought about you and we think of what you've done for us. May we be able to share that with a world that is hopeless, that is broken, that needs you so desperately. So Lord, we love you and we praise you for your word and your Son's most precious name. Amen.